Good morning. How are you guys? Everyone good? Well, this is a very exciting day for One Love because we are going to celebrate our first baptism as a church today. And I was hoping that's what you guys were going to do when she said it on the announcements, but we're headed over to River Road Park, and I was told that it's a pretty big pool over there. We're headed over there around 12:15. And so I decided as we start our new series called Deeper that there couldn't be a more appropriate way to start this series than to talk to you today about baptism. And so I want to take the next few minutes and do everything in my persuasive power to convince you, those of you who have never been baptized, according to the scriptures, let's say, once you've placed your faith in Jesus, and then to make that second decision to be baptized, if you haven't done that, I want to use everything in my persuasive power today to convince you, not only to make the decision to do it, but to actually jump in and be baptized today. So we have a fun task ahead of us. And if you're here and you're kind of already thinking that this talk isn't for you today because it's about baptism, maybe you've been baptized as a baby, or maybe you don't like to get your hair wet, whatever the reason might be, I want to challenge you on a couple things today. For those who have been baptized before, maybe when you were younger, I would venture to say that some of you need to be baptized again today because now you're in a place where you can fully embrace the idea of baptism. You can walk into it with a much different perspective, with one where you're saying, this is who I am today. This is a commitment I'm making to Jesus. Maybe you're here today and you've always wondered about Christianity and what baptism represents, and it just kind of seems so weird to you. Like, what's the point? And so this is a great talk for you. You don't have to be baptized today, but it's a great educational experience where you can kind of figure out what us crazies believe and why we believe it. Or maybe you're here, and that was a joke, by the way. We can loosen up here a little bit. Or maybe you're here, and you understand baptism for the most part. You were baptized at one point. But you'd like to know more about it. You'd like to be able to explain it, maybe to your kids. And so this is a great talk for you to scratch down some notes as well. I'm always amazed at the number of people I come in contact with who have been in church for so long and don't understand the significance of baptism. Maybe have even considered themselves to be Christians, have made a commitment to Jesus, but have yet to do that just because they just don't really understand it. And I think today is going to be one of those talks where we're going to open up the doors on this and figure out why we do it, what's it all about, and what the significance of it really is for someone who calls themselves a follower of Jesus. And I know some of you are thinking that I'm a heretic because wait a minute, you're saying we're going to be baptized today? I mean, shouldn't there, that's not protocol, that's not how it's supposed to be done. There should be a 3-hour, you know, class on baptism to explain all the finer points. And with that in mind, I would say welcome to Baptism 101. My name is Tony, and I will be your instructor for the morning. And I think we got quite a few emails about that. Well, what's the deal? Why isn't there a class? Shouldn't we be explaining this to people? And I think when we open up this book, what we're going to learn as we read Acts chapter 8 is that in the early church, they didn't have a class on baptism. It's honestly not in here. Do you know no one went home and prayed about making the decision to be baptized? No one spent 3 or 4 weeks kind of thinking about it. Oh, am I ready for it? No, Aunt Michelle and Uncle Mike, they weren't invited to your baptism because there was no time to send out an invitation. You just made the decision to do it. Today, the accounts that we're going to look at in Scripture, they deal with on-the-spot obedience to Jesus Christ. And I cannot tell you how excited I am to be able to talk to you about this today, because I'm hoping that a bunch of you who have never been baptized before or were baptized when they were younger are going to jump in the pool with me in a couple hours, and we're going to get it on. Sound good? Get your mind out of the gutters, whoever was just laughing over there. That was like very much half-hearted. Does that sound good? There you go. Thank you, Scott. We're going to start this morning in Acts chapter 8, and we're going to read starting in verse 26. It says, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.'" Philip was a very well-known evangelist. And an evangelist, for those of you who don't know, it's a traveling preacher. It's someone that does what I'm doing right now, but just goes all around to different places and talks about the good news, about Jesus. And he's all over Samaria at this time. And Scripture tells us that Philip was casting out demons and he was performing miracles and people were being healed. So at this time, Philip is a bona fide rock star. I mean, he is the real deal. He's legit. Everyone knows who Philip is because he's a man of God and he gets things done. And out of nowhere, we just read, an angel appears and says to Philip, he says, "Head south." I'm kind of directionally challenged and I don't ever know where I'm going or what direction I am. I'm so thankful for my wife because she is like a GPS. I would really appreciate it if an angel just showed up all the time and just said, "Hey, head south or go west or make a left here." But this is what happens to Philip. He says, "Head south." And it's a very simple, simple instruction. And before I move on, I want to point out that, and this is something that as we move through this series that I am so desperately praying that we latch onto as a church, that we begin to kind of white knuckle grab onto this thing and embrace it. And here it is. The most simple act of obedience can bring about the deepest results in your life. The most simple act of obedience will bring about the deepest result in your life. We're kicking off this series called Deeper today. And the reason why I wanted to do this series is because a lot of people who have been raised in the church for so long and think that being deeper, that going deeper in their relationship with the Lord is all about experiencing and learning new complicated spiritual truths. And so some reason simple has been relegated as to be shallow. And that's a really frustrating pretense to operate under in church world. It kind of takes the feet out of what Scripture really is supposed to be. And so as I thought about the whole idea of the most simple act of obedience can bring about the deepest result, I thought, I really want to challenge this notion that says, I want to go deeper. I want to talk about the seven heads of Revelation. I want to talk about the finer points of theology. Because I'm learning in reality, in my life, as a follower of Jesus, as someone who is making a concerted effort to live out God's commands, to live in integrity, to live with character, to live above reproach. I'm finding in all actuality that it's not about the head knowledge that I have. It's not about how much I know in this book. It's about taking what I do know and actually living those things out. So that in all reality, the simplest acts of obedience, what seems so simple and elementary and fundamental to us, so much so that we skip over those things and we don't do those things. Those are the things that bring about the greatest and deepest and most significant life change. You know, we're a young church. We're just a little over a year old right now. And everybody but my middle school daughter thinks that I'm a pretty young pastor. And you know, one of the things that I've heard several times, maybe through an email or through a conversation after a service, is I just need something deeper. I need something a little bit more challenging, a little bit more complex. I need a more sophisticated type of message. And most of the time, the first thing I would say is that a good communicator, a good teacher, is able to take very abstract, theoretical, complicated ideas and break them down and make them very simple and practical. So the first thing is, as I say, I must be doing an incredible job. That's the first thing. Amen. One amen. But most of the time, I think when someone says, I want to go deeper, I need something more, I need something more just to grab my, I need something, open up the book of Revelation and let's like look through, let's really dive into this stuff. I feel like most of the time when I hear someone say that, I think what they really are saying is, I want a preacher to confuse me so much that I don't have to do anything with what he's told me to do. I want it to be so sophisticated, it's so ethereal, it's so out here on top that I can just take what he says and I can act like I'm intellectually stimulated, but I can leave here unmoved, not called to action, but intrigued, kind of tickled a little bit. Because the simplest act of obedience is actually what brings about the greatest results in our lives. See, this is really deep. We want to know the things that we don't know. What about the things that you do know? Do you do those things well? Because for me, I'm the kind of guy that I don't like to move on until I'm done with something, right? I know a bunch of my friends who, when they prepare their talks, they do it over a certain amount of time. They'll do it over 4 or 5 days. I lock myself in a room and I don't leave. I don't go to the bathroom until I'm done writing, because I want to get it. I want to get it and I want to understand it. And so for me, what I'm finding is there are so many things in this book that I know to be true, that I need to just concentrate on those things and getting those things worked out in my life rather than trying to figure out all of the things that confound me and confuse me. The reason why a lot of us don't like simple teaching is because when it's simple, you know exactly what you need to do. You know exactly how to put feet in action to what's been taught. And the problem is we run into, it requires effort. It requires being challenged. It requires sacrifice. And for the most part, if you're anything like me, I don't want anything to do with that. I don't want to make sacrifices. I don't want to do those things. I just want someone to come in. I'll do my religious duty. I'll show up 2 or 3 times a month. And then just come on. Make me laugh a little bit, tell some funny jokes, and we can all be on our way, and you know, we'll see you next month. I don't actually want to do anything. I don't actually want to follow what Jesus says to do. I don't really want to live. I mean, I want to live this out in theory, but I mean, come on. I'd much rather you just tell me some good Bible stories and I feel like I'm doing my, I've met my religious or spiritual quota for the week, and we can go about our merry way. So this morning I want to flip the script on what being deeper really means. And I want to do it by looking at Philip and seeing the incredibly deep impact that he had by following some very, very simple instructions. And so we're going to continue reading in Acts chapter 8, and we're going to pick up in verse 27. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. If you don't, it should be on the screens behind me. It says, so he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Kendike, which means queen of Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to the chariot and stay near it. I think it's always neat when you read scripture and you see someone in scripture reading scripture. It says, the Spirit told Philip, go to the chariot and stay near it. First he says, go south, and now he says, go to the chariot and stay near it. It's another very, very simple instruction. There's nothing complicated or hard to understand about going over to the chariot. And I think one of the things that I really want us to grab onto this morning is that the deepest thing that you can do is act on what God has already said to do. That's deep. That is deep. Tweet it, Facebook it, whatever you do, just do it. The deepest thing you can do is act on what God has already said. See, so many of us, we want God to speak to very specific details in our life. Who am I supposed to marry? Should I take this job? Should I buy this house? Should I buy this car? Should I go here? Should I spend my money on this? Should I date him? What should I do? And we're asking God to fill us in on all these very specific details of our life. Yet, we're not doing the things that we already know he's told us to do. So why is it that we would think that God is going to speak to the specifics of our life if we're not first following the general guidelines that he's given us? That's deep. It's not what we want to hear, but that's very, very deep. I talk to people all of the time. They're saying, God won't speak to me. I haven't heard God's voice. Open up the Bible. This is God's prophetic word for you. This is God's word to you. In this book, he has promises for you. It's like, I want to know what God's saying about this. I want to know what God's saying about this. I want God to tell me where to go and to tell me to go here. Why don't you just stop? Why don't you just try to not cuss anymore? Why don't you try to not just clean up the way you talk? Why don't you clean up what you watch? Why don't you start treating your husband better? Why don't you love your kids a little bit more? Why don't you spend a little bit more time with them? Why don't you treat your wife the way Jesus treated his bride? The problem is we're not doing the things that are already in this book that we're told to do. And then we have the audacity to think that God isn't speaking to us. I can tell you how many situations I've been in where my daughter will come to me and try to ask me a question, and I know that she hasn't done something that I've already told her to do, and what do? I ignore her. She can be right here, but if I've already told her to clean her room, and now she's asking me to go outside, but she hasn't cleaned her room, I don't even acknowledge it. Right? Don't look at me like I'm a bad dad. Because I had a conversation with her. I clearly told her, hey, you can do that, but first you need to do this. 5 minutes later, she's asking if she can go do something else. And I love my daughter. I want her to do fun things. I want her to enjoy life. But why am I going to speak to something when she first hasn't obeyed a general guideline that I've given her? See, we don't like simple things. We want someone to say, hey, actually, go bow and then stand up and bow and stand up and do some, and God will speak to you. That's not how it works. I wish it was. But I think God is calling his people, those who call on the name of the Lord, who consider themselves to be followers of Jesus. I think he's calling us to a higher standard. I think he's saying, hey, why don't you start living this thing out? Why don't you stop talking about how you never hear my voice and open up my word? This is what's living. This is what I'm speaking to you. In Acts verse 30, chapter 8, verse 30, it says, then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. It says he ran to obey what God had told him. I think I don't know that I run to obey God's commands all the time. I think when I obey God, I'm kind of like limping. I go, I don't want to give more money, God. I don't want to give more of my time. I don't want to make any more sacrifices. I don't want to wake up early and read your word this morning. I don't want to spend time with you right now. I'd rather just sit and watch TV. But what did David do? And he ran to the front of the battle line so he could obey God and defeat Goliath. And here we find Philip running to obey God's commands. And so I can't help but think how different my life would look, how different your life would look if we ran towards obeying what God has called us to do. I think my life would look different. And I'm willing to bet that yours would too. And then in verse 31, The eunuch answers Philip's question and says, do you understand what you're reading? How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is a passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. It's Isaiah 53, verse 7 and 8. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? And then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. It's also interesting to me that he's reading one of the prophetic books in the Old Testament. And he says, I tell him the good news of Jesus. At every twist and turn, at every peak and valley, this book always is centered around Jesus. This is what the whole story is about. All throughout the Old Testament, if you don't understand it, you can't understand the New Testament. Everything is centered around Jesus. And this eunuch, he gets to a point after Philip explains a little bit more in detail who Jesus is and what he's done. He gets to a place where he puts his hope and he puts his trust and he puts his faith in God right there on the spot. We find Philip running to obey God. And now we see the eunuch on the spot declaring his faith in God. In Acts verse 36, it says, as they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. And the eunuch said, look, there's a seminary right there. Maybe I should enroll for 3 years and study the finer points of Calvinism and Arminianism. And maybe I'll go on and I'll get my PhD. And so I can understand and memorize all the laws of Leviticus concerning dietary issues. That's not what he says. That's not what he says at all. And so I just want to come back to it because I think this is so important. So many of us want to figure out the confounding things in Scripture. And we're not doing, like really, let's try to narrow down the date of when Jesus is going to return. Let's spend all of our time and all of our energy on that. Let's figure out what every feast and what every little nuance in Scripture means. It's like, really? Are we so hung up on legalism still? And I hate to beat a dead horse, but I just think how much further and how much better would the Christian community be if we just treated our wives better? If we just loved our husbands more, if we loved our kids, if we loved our neighbor as much as we loved ourselves, I mean, if we just followed the very simple things, it's not that we need to go deeper. It's not that we need to find out different things in this book more than what we already know. I think we just need to start doing the things that we do know. I wonder how different our lives would look. God, speak to me. God, speak to me. If you don't have a Bible, I'll give you one today. But every single time you say, God, speak to me, you need to open up this book. Every time you're confused and you don't feel like you've heard from him, you need to open up this book. This is the living word of God. It brings life. It speaks to every situation that you go through. So as they traveled along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. And so I want to ask you the same question that the eunuch just proposed. He said, what can stand in the way of me being baptized? And so that's my question for you this morning, is what is standing in the way of you being baptized today? What's the reason? What's the excuse? What thing are you trying to avoid? And so I just want to rattle off just a few reasons why people give to avoid, and probably not in a defiant kind of way, trying to avoid, but just some things that we try to avoid. And I think it's important to say, one of the last things Jesus said before he ascended was he looked at his crew, he looked at his disciples, and he said, go and preach to the nations, telling them about the good news of Jesus, about me. And he says, I want you to preach. And I want you to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's one of the things that he said to do. And so it's something that you and I are supposed to do. And I think that's actually the first thing that we'll address real quick. Is a lot of us would say, the reason why I haven't been baptized yet is because I didn't know I was supposed to do it. I gave my life to Christ years ago, months ago, days ago, whatever your situation is. But I didn't know I was supposed to. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. Max Lucado says that baptism separates the tire kickers from the car buyers. If you've put your faith in Jesus, this is something that you definitely should do. It's something that you're supposed to do. So if you didn't think you were supposed to do it, now you know. And knowing's half the battle, right? That's what G.I. Joe taught us when we were younger. Another reason why a lot of people don't get baptized is because they just don't understand what baptism is. And I would also like to just point out the reason why many of us don't understand what baptism is because we've been stuck in churches where people try to be so complex and try to sound so smart that they haven't explained to people what baptism is. So in just one quick statement, I'm just going to sum up what baptism is. Baptism is an outward expression of an inward change or commitment. That's what baptism is. Baptism is an inward or is an outward expression of an inward change or commitment. You know, my son and my daughter are both being baptized today. So I'm pretty excited about it. And about 6 weeks ago when I was preparing for this talk, I approached them with the idea and I said, "Hey, what do you guys think about this?" And at first they were kind of like, "Whoa." Actually, Anthony was pretty into it, and Allie was like, "I don't know what I mean." And so I said, "Well, what do you think baptism means?" Because I've seen me baptize people before, and I said, "Well, what does it mean to you? You know, how do you understand it?" And they didn't really understand it, and so I broke it down and explained it, and I had a couple conversations with them over the past few weeks. And last night, as I was getting ready for bed, I just brought them in my office and I said, "Hey," I said, "I just want to make sure we're on the same page. You know, this is something that you guys want to do and something that you guys fully understand." So Allie was in my room first. I said, if I had to ask you to define baptism for me, what would you say?" And she did it pretty well. She was like, it's a commitment that we make. It's, you know, our old self, we're done with our old self, and you know, it's a new commitment. And I thought, that's good, that's good. And then Anthony came in the room, and he came in the room, and he had just been playing his DS or something. And so he like turns the corner in my room when I called him, and he like landed right in my doorway and was like, and I said, "Hey, do you know what baptism is?" And he's just standing there like this in this position. And he's like, "Yeah, you drop your old self in and you get your new self when you come out." And I thought, "Yep, that's it." I said, that's it in a nutshell. That's exactly what baptism is. See, the reason why we put people all the way under the water and bring them back up is because Jesus died and then he rose again. And so when we put them all the way underwater, it's a simple picture of that reality. And so just like Anthony said, when you go under the water, it represents that you're leaving your old self. You're dying to your old self. And when you come up out of that water, it represents new life in Jesus. That you're committed to following. Not that you're going to be perfect. That's not what it's about. But it's about making that outward expression of an inward commitment, of an inward change. And I also just real quick want to say, I don't believe that you have to be baptized to go to heaven. I know there's a lot of debate on that. And so just to forego any emails that you might want to send my way. I don't believe that you have to be baptized to go to heaven or anything like that. Jesus looked at the thief on the cross and he said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." There was no time for him to baptize anyone. So baptism isn't your way into heaven any more than my wedding ring is the reason why I'm married, right? Rather, this wedding ring, it symbolizes something. It represents my commitment to my wife. It represents a decision that I've made. It represents a change that I've made. And so that's what baptism is. It represents something. It represents a commitment that you're making to Jesus. Another reason why people don't get baptized is because they think, "Well, I was baptized when I was a baby. I was baptized when I was younger." And this is a little bit more of a sensitive reason. And so I hope you can kind of hear the tone in my heart on this. But Baptism is supposed to be, it's supposed to be very personal. It's supposed to be something that you're very aware of when you're making the decision. It's a proclamation that you're making. And I don't say this to be offensive, but when you are a baby, there's no way for you to understand the significance of what you're doing. And I don't say it to be offensive to any other denomination that you may have been raised in. And I know there is a point of age where you can begin to understand what baptism is. But baptism is one of those things that it's supposed to be, you're supposed to be very cognizant of the decision. It's supposed to be something that I'm saying, I'm giving myself to this right now. I'm committing myself to this. It's not something that a decision that someone else makes for you. In fact, 27 different times in the book of Acts, people are baptized. And every single time, it's after they have put their faith and their trust in Jesus. They've gotten to a point where they say, I'm surrendering my life to you. I'm handing over the reins of my world to you. I'm allowing you to be Lord. And I'm now putting my faith in you. And then after they've made this decision, they step to the next decision and are then baptized. That's how it works all throughout Scripture. Baptism is about what you believe. It's not about what your parents believe. It's not about what you were raised to believe. It's about your decision to follow God. It's about your decision to put your faith in him and your hope in him. And I would say, if you were baptized when you were a baby, this, if you were to be baptized again, it is not disrespecting your parents. It's not minimizing what they had you do when they had you baptized. Rather, I would say it's confirming for you as an adult what they wanted for you when you were a baby. And so really you're coming up behind what they've already done, a decision that they've made for you, and you're reinforcing that decision. So don't be afraid today if you've been baptized when you were younger to make that decision to be baptized again. Another reason why some people might not want to be baptized is because they're thinking this is just crazy and stupid to do it right on the spot like this. I don't have any clothes even. You know, I'm not prepared for this. And I would say the good news is when you're unprepared, I'm always prepared. I'm prepared for you. One Love is prepared. So what we've done is I've gone out and I've bought tons of brand new shorts, brand new t-shirts, brand new fresh towels, everything ranging from double X to extra small. So all sizes and shapes are welcome. I'm trying to eliminate every excuse that you can possibly think of. So you can leave here and you can say, you want to know what? I'm gonna meet you over there. You can change into a fresh pair of clothes that have never been worn, brand new. There's tags are still on them. You can put those clothes in. You can jump in with me. We'll do this thing. You can hop back out, go change in the changing room, put on your dry, nice church clothes and drive home to lunch. It'll be a beautiful, beautiful thing. And I think, you know, a lot of you are probably saying, I just need some time to think. I need some time to think about this. And I get some of you are very methodical, but most of the time when we say that, for most of us, what we're really saying is I need some time to talk myself out of it. I need some time to kind of just be away from you and listen to you talk, and then I can just kind of not do what you've asked me to do. But I would say this. If someone walked up to you and said, hey, listen, John, Sarah, I have a check for you. I have a check for you with $1 million on it. All you need to do is forego your lunch plans and meet me at my house in 5 minutes. I'm pretty sure you wouldn't say, I think I need to go home and pray about this one. I think I just need to put a little time and thought into this. No, it's like you're gonna drop whatever you're doing because it's an incredible opportunity. And we need to learn, in the world that we live in, we seize great opportunities, and baptism is one of those opportunities. It's one of those opportunities that you've got to seize it. You've got to take hold of it. You've got to embrace it and just do it. You might feel scared. You might feel awkward, but it's all right. You need to just take the plunge, literally and metaphorically. You just need to do it. And I will also say this. Great opportunities, and this is a good thing to write down. Great opportunities necessitate immediate obedience. That's deep. You can tweet it, Facebook it. Great opportunities necessitate immediate obedience. Some of you are here right now, and you know your number has been called. You need to be baptized. Whether you did it a long time ago and you want to do it again, whether it's your first time, you know that you're here and you need to be baptized. But you just feel, you just kind of feel conflicted. I don't want to feel awkward. I don't want to be the oldest one there. I don't want to be the youngest. What if I should have done it earlier and everyone's going to be, listen, everyone who will be there is going to be your biggest cheerleader. And we're going to be supporting you and cheering you on. And I believe that when you come up out of that water, I'm telling you, heaven will be rejoicing today. And also, I would also say that, listen, my son who is 9 and my daughter who is 11, and I know so many of your kids are being baptized today. If these little guys can do it, surely we can have enough courage to step up to the plate and feel a little bit uncomfortable and a little bit awkward. Because you want to know what? I'm pretty sure when Jesus hung on a cross, it didn't feel that great. I'm pretty sure he wasn't very comfortable. I'm pretty sure he felt awkward up there, but he still did it. And so it's something that, this is something that you and I need to embrace as well. And I am so excited about this series. And I thought it'd be a great way to kick it off by talking about baptism and just really talking even more about what it means to go deeper. Going deeper is about being obedient. Going deeper is not about hearing deep theological truths and trying to follow every law and every feast. Going deeper is about diving into what you already know you're supposed to do. It's about embracing those things and allowing those things to shape and guide the way that you live. That's what being deep is. That's how you go deeper. You don't know how I'm going to go deeper this week? Is I'm going to love my wife more. I'm going to spend more time with my kids. I'm not going to flip anyone off when I leave church today when they cut me off. Right? I'm going to live out my faith. It's not about all the crazy, confounding things in this book. It's simply about allowing Jesus to be Lord and putting him first place in your life. Amen?